my son sat up here and prayed, and I was like, all right, well, let's just do the benediction, and I think we're good. So I keep it short, sweet. But the scripture that he was reading today was from Hebrews 12, and it talks about the discipline of God. The name of the sermon this morning is Growing in God's Discipline. And again, this is Foundations Month. This is the last Sunday of Foundations Month. So for all of you who are just thirsting to have Pastor back up here, one last Sunday, this is it. Okay, last Sunday. And then he'll be coming in there, all right? He just got to take me down right there. He's still working. So this is the last Sunday. And I figured one of our last things that we might go over would be God's discipline. Now, youth, got a question for you. When you hear the word discipline, what do you think of? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Is there a hint? That's all right. That's all right. What you got, Marcus? I like hard work. You say sports. All right. You said a switch. I heard you. What you got? Consequence. All right, all right. It's interesting, you know, and I anticipated those answers. Because a lot of times when we've spoken, you know, welcome to youth group, y'all. A lot of times when we talk about discipline, we do think about the punishment part of it. We do think about the pain. And matter of fact, in this particular chapter, you know, me being a counselor and working with Christians that come in for counseling, a lot of times they'll read the same passage here, and it's a burdensome passage to them, because a lot of people go in looking at God's discipline. It's a very heavy-handed thing. But we don't really realize that though there are parts that can be heavy, it has a purpose that is life-giving. So today, for my youth, I really want to try to reshape a little bit, reframe a little bit how you look at discipline. You know, I want you to look at it in its totality, not necessarily at the back end of it. Okay? The back end of it? You get it? Right. Pun intended. All right. So, let's take a look at Hebrews 12. Now, I love the way the Lord did this, because you start reading the first three verses of Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful man, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Normally, when you start to look at that first piece there, you go, all right, well, you know, he's just kind of ending what he was talking about in chapter 11, okay? That, and I promise you, I know how I get. We start going verse by verse, and we'll stay on one verse, and 20 minutes later, we're still on one verse, and we never get to the end. I promise we'll get to the end this time. Right? Y'all believe me, right? Y'all don't look like y'all believe me. I'm trying to be disciplined, but it doesn't always work. Because you get stuck. But it starts off talking about the clouds of witnesses. And it's starting to say, look, there are people that have come before you. And you see the things that they have been able to do in Christ. You see that through their faith. You've seen what they've been able to accomplish. But I want you to know, and it's like God kind of setting you up here. It's like, I want you to know that to do that, they had to put off some things. That verse says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Notice that conjunction there, and. So he's saying that, you know, hey, I'm going to do something to help you be like these folks. But there's some things in your life that we may remove, that I may remove, that I may train you so that you can move. And they're two separate things. One are the things that entangle, or excuse me, that hinder. Okay? Notice, everything that hinders. Now, something that hinders is something that what? Kind of holds you back, right? Right? You're moving along and it just kind of slows you down like a parachute or something like that, right? That's not necessarily a sinful thing he's saying there. He's saying anything in your life that slows you down. So there's things to be aware of, things that, thoughts that slow us down. You know, confidence sometimes slows us down. Pride sometimes slows us down. Indecision sometimes slows us down. None of those things are sins. They're just things that kind of put a little hitch in our step as we're going forward, right? Right? And then there are sins that entangle. Think about that. Something that entangles you, literally is trying to tie you up and trip you up in an effort to stop you. This is something that has been purposely put in your way to keep you from continuing on your journey. Because God had just in that last piece said to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So yeah, we're running, but there's something that has been purposely put in our way to keep us from continuing on. Okay? That's the sin part he's talking about. Okay? That's not something that necessarily you grabbed onto. That's something that, you know, in many cases Satan is trying to put into your way to kind of distract you from the race that God has you on. Okay? That makes sense? So you got to start to look at your life in the totality and say, yes, there is greatness that I'm going to achieve, but there are also things that can slow me down and things that are designed to stop me from persevering on. So God says, look, all right, so what I want you to do is to fix your eyes on Jesus. To fix your eyes on Jesus. Now, running the race is easy, at least when I read this, this is the way I was thinking. Running this race is easy if you're Jesus. He already God. So this is easy. I am not God in no way, shape, or form at all. Period. But he's saying, wait a minute. No, I'm not trying to make you God. What I'm trying to do, trying to get you to see is fix your eyes on how he ran his race and everything that went against him. Because if you can look at it that way, if you can see him from that perspective, then you can see you got a little bit of strength. You got an example to follow. And that if he can make it through to the end, then you can make it through to the end. That when things get heavy, then you can look to where he looked, and then you can get there. But the other piece that I liked about just these three verses was it actually kind of sat there and set up your whole life. See, if you back and say, okay, God is saying, look, you are going to live a life that is going to live to greatness. This is my paraphrase of these three verses. There's going to be some things that are going to get in your way. There are going to be some things that are designed to stop you. But behold, I am always there, and I have always got your back. And if you can just hold on through, on the other side of this, once these things have been removed, there's a glory that's about to come. So when I looked at those first three verses, I'm like, that's a preamble. It's a preamble to what's coming next. Because sure enough, verse 4, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet shed it, not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as sons. Okay? God is like, I know you have this life coming through, but guess what? I have a way of helping getting you through, and it is through my discipline. So he pulls out a verse from the Proverbs, Proverbs 3 to be more accurate, to say, look, this is how I'm going to help you. This is how I'm going to take you down in detail of how I'm going to use my discipline to not only get you through these things, but also to make you better and to bring you out on the outside. Like Michael might tell you, you know, you tell him what you're going to tell him, you tell him, and then you tell him what you told him. That's exactly what he did. Right? That's exactly what he did. So let's take a look at that. My sons, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. First of all, he says that discipline is about relationship. It's about being his son. He's saying, look, as your father, it is my job to guide you through. Well, wait a minute. Hold up. Slow back. What is this discipline thing that you're talking about? Let's define that, first of all. Discipline is defined as control that is gained by requiring that rules or orders be obeyed and punishing bad behavior. Okay, notice how I did that. Control that is gained by requiring that rules or order be obeyed and punishing bad behavior. A way of behaving that shows a willingness to obey rules or orders, or behaviors that is judged by how well it follows a set of rules. This word discipline that's being used is taken from the Greek. It's paiduo. I had to make sure I get my pronunciation correct. Paiduo, okay? Which, when you back it back, comes from the root word of pedagogy. Any teachers in here? Okay? So what is he trying to say? He's saying that discipline is to train, to guide, and then, if need be, punish. Okay? It's a total thing. It's not just a one-way thing. Okay? So as a father, my job to you as kids is to discipline or to teach you discipline. Okay? In doing so, that means that I'm there to be the guide, the trainer for you. It's like you're coming before me as a person that is wanting to work out, you want these big muscles, you want to be the six-pack abs and everything. And you don't just go to the gym and say, I'm going to just do my own thing. Messing up all wrong, just, you know, getting no results. But as a father, I'm the trainer. I'm the one that says, all right, why don't you do a little cardio today? We're going to do some strength training tomorrow. We're going to mix it up with a little cycling training over there. You know, I'm going to do everything. You know, I remember as a ROTC cat back in college that, you know, we would go through a lot of those type trainings. You know, he would sit back and, you know, I remember like weapons training, you know, they'd sit and was showing us how to break it down, and we'd break it all the way down and then, you know, put it back together. And if you didn't do it right, you know, he had you doing push-ups. You know, that was the punishment part of it. You know, and of course during the punishment part of it, I'm going, I just don't like you. Why you don't like me and all that? But it was all a part of a process. I can do them. What are y'all laughing at? But it was all a part of a process. It was all about teaching me all the way through so that I was attentive to what I was doing because of the importance of what I was handling. So if I played around with it, yeah, you got to step back. Why? Because there's an importance to what you're handling. Your life is important. So the things in your life that slow you down or hinder you, as a father, I have to see. And it's not because I hate you in any way. Matter of fact, I love how the scripture says it. He says, do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the God, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. He wouldn't do it if you didn't matter. You are important to him. You have a great work ahead of you. And because you are now a part of his vine, he says, you know what? I'm going to help you get there. You see what I'm saying? It's all about helping you. Not because I just need something to go on so that I can be glorified. It's because I love you. Because I love you. Every father that disciplines his child doesn't do it out of anger. They do it out of love. I know y'all were saying in your head, you know, yeah, this that hurts me more than it hurts you. Yeah, prove it. But trust me, it does. Because what you don't fear, what you don't see, is the fear that's back behind the eyes. Because we've seen what the world will throw at you. We've seen the dangers that lie behind those different corners. And when we see them, and we see you even attempting to walk that way, we take a step back. We cringe. We hold on. Our prayers become more fervent because we just don't want you to ever walk into that darkness. That's how God sees all of us, all of his children. He's already seen what's there. But he already knows what your victory is. So he's saying, hey, let me just turn you a little bit this way, turn you a little bit this way. Sometimes slap me on the back of the hand. Not to harm you, but to protect you from what might come. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. See, we're making the law, see, I'm making it through. Verse 7 says, endure hardship as discipline. Now, I particularly love this. How often, and I know it's very few because y'all are, you know, y'all are these perfect walking Christians, so there's probably about three people in here that have ever gone through hard times. Oh, a few more than I thought. Scripture says endure hard times as discipline. Okay, again, God just defined it as training, as guiding. So how does that now refocus some of our hard times? Nowhere in my life did I ever want to go through divorce. Nowhere in my life did I ever want to go through losing my father. Nowhere in my life, there's just thing after thing after thing, firing of jobs, failures in school. Nowhere in my life did I really want those things to happen. But when I look back at my life, at each one of those times, I've seen not only did I come through, but I was stronger because of it. Your hard times that you're going to endure, young people, are not there just because you're being bad. Don't let anybody tell you that. Don't let anybody tell you you're being punished by God because he just doesn't love you. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Just throw it out. But if you look at the hard times you go through as discipline, it means reframe what you're looking at. Start looking for those what? Hindrances and entanglements. Huh? Man? Because when you start looking at it that way, you can start to see, all right, I see what road I may have been going because I've been struggling. I can feel the stumble. I can feel, you know, the slowing down. Okay, God, you pointing me here. All of a sudden, the momentum starts picking back up again. Even the hard time doesn't bring you as low as it tries to do it. Because, hello, sometimes those hard times are put in your way as well. Okay? So reframe how you look at the hard time. When you get into a class that seems particularly bad, it is harder than anything that you have ever seen in your life. What are the hindrances? Is it how I'm studying? Is it how I'm listening in class? Is it where I sit? Baker. You know, Is it what's going on around me? Are there other distractions around? Start to look at it from that perspective. Because once you do, now you can take that into the next class and say, ah, I know how to conquer this. I see what I can do better. And you can roll on through. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying about that? All right. You get lost, just holler at me. Say, Mr. Bobby, that don't make sense. I got you. Okay? For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, if you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, everyone, enough said, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who discipline us and we respect them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? Unfortunately, there are many who have followed Christ and have walked away because of the hard times that they have suffered. They have seen the hard times and they've gone, why, God, have you done this for me or done this to me? They look at those hard times and they say, this discipline is unfair. We've said that to our earthly fathers. It's not fair. Let me tell you, God is never going to allow anything to purposely harm you or hurt you in that way. He's not going to discipline you that way. You can go through the scriptures even where Israel has just gone to the wire of things. And he wanted to get to a point to where he just wanted to get rid of the whole lot and start over again. But he always stopped himself and in grace found another way to help them learn the lesson that they need to learn. Know that you are God's children. He's not going to do anything to harm you or hurt you. I forget the scripture but it basically says with a father for a son who wants bread to give him a snake instead. Is that close? A stone, a serpent, a stone, you know. If your earthly father wouldn't do that, your heavenly father definitely would. I'm almost done. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, I skipped something. But God disciplines us for his good. Verse 10. Our Father disciplines us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. God does all things for our good. Going back to Romans. Now I can hit where I was going. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Yep. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been what? Trained by it. Again, it's only for a short time that we're going to go through those things. But there's always something beautiful on the other end. There's always something beautiful on the other end. It produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Remember those fruits of the Spirit? You remember those? Where do you think the growing of that happens? Where does that self-control come from? Where does that peace, where does it come from? See, it's during those times that those things are cultivated. That the ground is tilled, that the seeds are planted, that they're watered. And then at the end of them, out pops, wow, I didn't know I had that kind of patience. I didn't know I had that kind of self-control. You know, that's where it comes from. But it's also a statement of reassurance that says, I'm not going to let you stay in there forever. I'm going to bring you out. And when I bring you out, I'm going to bring you out better than you were when you went in. So, as a close, God says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Don't slow down today. Don't allow for the entanglements and the hindrances to get in your way. Instead, look to the Lord, who is your help, who is your strength, who is your guide. Stay on the path that he has for you. Because if you can endure, the other side is much greater, much brighter. In the words of Kirk Franklin, it's a very lovely.